Time once again to discuss mental health and well-being. It's time for Fitter Happier.
Fitter Happier. A program about your health for your health.
Men who have sex with men are recognised as being the highest risk group for contracting HIV. From April 2016 to March 2017, they account for 58% of cases of HIV in Australia. While HIV notifications decreased 16% from the previous year, contraction of other STIs, including gonorrhea, has increased. Joining us now in the studio to discuss how to reduce the risks, our manager of the M Clinic, Justin Manuel, and sexual health physician, Dr. Lewis Marshall. Good morning, guys.
Morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us on the MAG.
Pleasure.
Yeah, no problems.
And now, Justin, can I ask you first off, what is the M Clinic? What does it do and what does it cover, I guess?
Yeah, so the M Clinic is a HIV, STI and bloodborne virus screening clinic for men that have sex with men in Perth. We're located in West Perth. We've been going for over 7 years now. So the main service we provide is free testing for HIV and STIs to MSM in Perth. We also provide free treatment for STIs and referral for other issues people may be presenting with.
Yeah, obviously an important service, of course. Now, Lewis, if we're talking about STIs, what are the main STIs to be concerned about?
Well, HIV, of course, is an STI. I think people sometimes forget that, but 95% of all HIV in Australia is transmitted sexually. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, syphilis. There's been a big increase in syphilis. There's been a 50% increase in men who have sex with men in the last year. And that's unusual. That's been a very big increase. And I think people have forgotten about syphilis. It was sort of unknown probably 20 years ago almost.
Do you think that's why these instances are increasing? Because people just kind of forget about these diseases because they're maybe not so prominent anymore?
Yeah, I think that's true. And I think there hasn't been a sort of a big sort of national awareness campaign for many years. So syphilis is an issue. Gonorrhea has certainly increased dramatically. And chlamydia remains an ongoing issue. So all of those things are really important and can all be tested for and treated.
So how often should people be tested for STIs if they are, you know, sexually active?
Well, it does depend to a certain extent on your behaviour, but we recommend at least the minimum would be yearly, 6 monthly or even 3 monthly, depending on how many different partners you have. So it is about, you know, how often you might be putting yourself at risk as to how often you might need to be tested. But I think an absolute minimum would be yearly.
Okay. Justin, are there different tests for different diseases that your clinic covers?
Yeah, absolutely. So the standard testing for HIV and syphilis and viral hepatitis would be a blood test. Mm-hmm. So just a simple blood test, drawing the blood from the arm. But the testing for gonorrhea and chlamydia is provided through a different form. So that's usually involved for our clients a urine test, checking for a urethral infection, and then also rectal and throat swabs, which are really important as well, particularly because infections like gonorrhea and chlamydia can be asymptomatic, so you might have no idea that you would have them. And if we're not testing on the throat and the rectum swabs as well, then we may miss those infections. So quite often when people are testing at GPs, those swabs might be missed. So it's really important for, I guess, guys out there to be aware that they need to test at those sites as well and talk to their GPs about them if they are having their sexual health testing done at a GP.
Okay.
The other test that we're offering at the M Clinic is a rapid HIV test. So that one's a little different to the blood test in that it's a finger prick test. And it's rapid in the sense that we get the result after 10 minutes. What it isn't rapid in the sense of is that there actually is a longer window period for that test as well. So I suppose that's one of the limitations. So on the rapid HIV tests that we provide, it could miss a HIV infection if that was acquired within the last 3 months. And if you compare that to the standard blood test that we do, it's more like a 6 to 7 week window period.
Okay.
So it's really good for people that want an instant sort of result on their HIV status, but it's also really important that we do the standard blood test as well.
Okay.
Because that means we're going to detect HIV a little bit quicker.
Sure. So I guess people, if they want the kind of rapid testing, they just kind of need to be aware that maybe they need to come back as well and get that test as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And we always offer it along with a standard blood test as
Okay, great. What are the symptoms of HIV?
Well, when people are first infected, there's this thing called a seroconversion illness where the body's then reacting to the virus, and that's described as like being a bad flu. And if you look at various studies, probably 70% of people have that, but most people pass that off as the flu. Yeah. And so that gets better without any treatment and people are unaware of it. So people are often well then for 6, 7, 8 years until they start, then their immune system starts to fail. Because HIV is not the cause of the illness, really. I mean, it affects the immune system, and it's when the immune system's affected and then other infections come over or cancers ensue, that's when people start to get sick. So that can take a number of years, and so that's why it's important that people get tested.
Absolutely. You're listening to Fitter Happier on the Mag on RTRFM 92.1, and this week we're discussing sexually transmitted infections with manager of the M Clinic, Justin Manuel, and sexual health physician, Dr. Lewis Marshall. Now, can I ask either of you, what is pre-exposure prophylaxis?
Right, so pre-exposure prophylaxis is where we use two of the drugs that we use to treat HIV, and people take it before they're exposed to HIV. So that means taking the medication for a week before you're covered, and then whilst you think you might be at risk of acquiring HIV, you take it on a daily basis. Currently, that's only available through personal importation in WA, but in the next month or so, there's going to be a trial starting where people can be enrolled if they're eligible, if they are at high risk, and they'll be able to provide that medication free.
Okay, so the high risk is the eligibility factor for that trial if people want to get involved?
That's right, and there are quite clear criteria for that, and that would be discussed with anyone who's interested in starting PrEP before they enrolled in the trial.
Sure. What about post-exposure therapy? What does that entail?
Yeah, so it's the same drugs again, but in this case it's after the event. So if you've been potentially exposed to HIV and you take the medication within 72 hours and you take it for a month, then the evidence would show that you're protected from getting infected in most cases. I think it's important to realise that both PrEP and PEP are not 100% panaceas for protection.
Sure.
There's always cases that might be still transmitted. If someone's got a not sensitive virus, for instance, a resistant virus, then that can be a problem. But generally, these are very effective innovations that are happening currently.
So where can people get advice and therapy if they need it?
For pre-exposure prophylaxis? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's a number of clinics that are currently providing management and prescriptions for the personal importation. So one of those is the South Terrace Clinic in Fremantle, which is attached to the hospital and the sexual health service there. The other one is the Royal Perth Hospital Sexual Health Clinic. There's a few GPs that are also providing prescriptions at this point of time. One of the bigger ones is GP on Beaufort here in Mount Lawley. There's another clinic in called Spencer Road Family Clinic as well. But more information on current prescribers can be found on the M Clinic website.
Great. And can I ask this question to both of you as well? Do you think the goal of stopping new cases of HIV by 2020 is actually achievable?
Look, I think It's a tricky goal, to be honest. You know, we've got a couple of years to go. We are still seeing new HIV diagnosis. I think in order for us to actually achieve that, that requires, you know, us working in sexual health. It requires, you know, community, and it requires government all to be working together and really, you know, focusing on stopping HIV transmissions. One of the things that's, you know, really become more concrete recently is the power of treatment as prevention. So people living with HIV achieving an undetectable viral load, and essentially they're then being a negligible risk of passing HIV on sexually. So then I guess, you know, we've got really good evidence around that now. So what we now need to focus on is giving better prevention methodology onto negative people as well. And one thing that Lewis alluded to before is better access to PrEP coming very, very shortly in the form of the PrEP trial.
Yeah.
So I think that is a really big step forward for us here in WA in terms of trying to achieve that target by 2020.
The other important thing, I think, though, is that a lot of people don't know they've got HIV.
Yeah.
So really testing and regular testing is fundamental to being able to do something, because once we can find people who are HIV positive, put them on treatment, great for them personally, but also it means that they're not going to be infectious and therefore unwittingly infect other people. So that the testing message is really paramount, I think.
Fantastic. Well, we'll do our best to keep getting that message out there. Lewis and Justin, thank you so much for joining us on Fitter Happier on the Mag this morning.
Pleasure.
Pleasure.
This has been an RTRFM podcast. RTRFM is an independent community radio station that relies on the public for financial support. You can subscribe online at rtrfm.com.au/subscribe.